Welcome to Toirat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Yehoshua Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13. After outlining the details of the conquest of the land, the next few chapters now focus on the dividing up of the land to the different Shevatim tribes. The chapter opens telling us, V'Yehoshua Zokein, Yehoshua was old, Bo Bayomim, advanced in years. Vayomer Hashem Elov, Ato Zokanto, Bosa Vayomim, Vahaoretz Nisharo, Harbeim Oid Lerishta. And Hashem said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. Rashi reads, from what Hashem had said to Avraham, there remains land to be inherited that has not yet been conquered. On the text stating that Yehoshua is old and that there is a lot remaining to inherit, Ralbag explains that it would not be possible for Yehoshua, given his having aged, to complete the war with the remaining kings. We learnt in chapter 11, where it says in verse 18, Yomim Rabim Osa Yehoshua es kol hamelochim ha'ele milchoma. Yehoshua made war a long time with all these kings. That according to the Medrash, we learnt that according to the Medrash, Yehoshua was punished for delaying in the war with the kings. Hashem took 10 years off Yehoshua's life. Malbim focuses on the phrase here in chapter 12, verse 1, V'ha'oretz nish'ara harbei ma'oid l'rishta, and there remains very much land to be possessed. Malbim explains that Chazal said that Yehoshua delayed in the conquest of the land, thinking that he would not die all the time that the land had not yet all been conquered. And so here in the verse, it uses the word nish'ara, there remains, meaning with intention. It was intended that the land has not all been conquered yet. Otherwise, it would have used the word noisar, remainder. Psukim verses 2-5 describe the areas that remain to be conquered. Zois ha'aretz ha'nish'ares, kol galilois ha'plishtim, v'chol ha'gashuri. This is the land that still remains, all the borders of the plishtim and all the gashuri. Based on Rashi, on verses 3-5, where it continues to delineate the areas remaining, we learn that Yehoshua didn't conquer the entire southern border of the land, except for the desert of Tzin, during his lifetime. Verse 3 outlines the southern border from east to west, and verse 4 states the width from north to south of that area that remains unconquered. Verse 5 shows that he also did not conquer along the northern boundary. Hashem assures Yehoshua regarding the inhabitants of these areas, Anoichi Orishem Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. I will drive them out from before Bnei Yisrael. That is, after Yehoshua's death, as Rashi reads. Continuing in verse 6, Hashem tells Yehoshua, Rak hapileh li Yisrael benochalo ka'asher tzivisicho. Only allot it to Yisrael for an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Divide up the land amongst the people. Then, says Rashi, each Shevet, tribe, will conquer the portion that fell into its lot. So even the areas that have not been conquered yet will be allocated to tribes. Malbim points out that in the previous chapter, when talking about the apportionment of land in verse 7, it says, Vayitno Yehoshua l'shivtei Yisrael Yerusha k'mach l'koisom. Yehoshua gave it to the tribes of Yisrael for an inheritance according to their divisions. In chapter 12, it uses the word Yerusha for inheritance of the land. And here in chapter 13, it says, Rak hapileh li Yisrael benachalo ka'asher tzivisicho. Only allot it to Yisrael for an inheritance as I have commanded you. Nachalo. Because there's a difference in meaning between the two words, Yerusha and Nachalo. Yerusha is when there is a change of ownership. The item moves from one owner to another. So in the previous perek, where it mentions what was conquered, it uses the word Yerusha because they took it over. It moved from Canaanite ownership to belonging to the Bnei Yisrael. but it had not yet been allocated to the Shevatim tribes. A Nachala, however, is a heritage when something is bequeathed to descendants. So here in chapter 13, when the subject is the apportionment of land to the different Shevatim, it uses this term, Nachala, because it can't say Yerusha, as they have not conquered this land being referred to yet, but allot it as a Nachala, meaning so everyone knows what his heritage is, what his portion that will continue to future generations is, his Nachala. We mentioned in an earlier chapter that Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh would remain on the eastern side of the Yarden. So that leaves 9.5 tribes to have land in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, verse 7, V'ato, chaleik es ha'aretz hazois, b'nachala l'sish'as ha'shevotim, v'chatzi ha'shevet ha'manasseh. And now divide this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. Mahari Kara clarifies that Yehoshua doesn't need to apportion land for 2.5 of the tribes because they have already taken their inheritance that Moshe gave them. Mitzudas David comments on and now divide that it means now first divide the land into portions and after this perform a lottery to know which portion should go to which tribe. The majority of the remainder of the chapter is a description of the areas conquered on the other side of the Yarden and delineation of the division of that land among the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh. Verses 15 to 23 focus on Reuven's inheritance, verses 24 to 28 on the inheritance of the tribe of Gad, and verses 29 to 31 are on the inheritance of half of Manasseh. In verses 14 and 33, we are told that the tribe of Levi did not have an inheritance in the land. Verse 14, Rak leshevet ha-Levi, loy nosan nachala, ishe Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hu nachalasoi, ka'asher diber loy. Only to the tribe of Levi he gave no inheritance. The sacrifices of Hashem, God of Yisrael, made by fire are his inheritance, as he said to him. Verse 33, Uleshevet ha-Levi, loy nosan Moshe nachala, but to the tribe of Levi, Moshe gave no inheritance. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hu nachalosom, ka'asher diber lohem. Hashem, God of Yisrael, was their inheritance as he spoke to them. Levi does not receive a physical portion of land. Their portion is uniqueness in their role of service of Hashem. Given that the tribe of Levi does not receive a portion, we now have a question as to who the 9.5 tribes mentioned earlier were. 2.5 tribes were receiving their portion outside the land. Who is one of the 9.5 tribes if Levi is not included? This will become clear in the next perek. We have seen in this perek that the tribe of Reuven was the first to be allotted its portion of land. Rashi comments on Soita 7b that this was a reward for his teshuvah, his self-improvement. In Parshas Vayishlach, Rachel Imenu dies. Yaakov Avinu now makes the tent of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, his main dwelling place, not Leah's tent. Reuven, their firstborn, is so upset by this on behalf of his mother Leah, whom he wants to honour, that he moves his father Yaakov's bed out of Bilhah's tent and into Leah's. In the very same posuk as this act of Reuven's is mentioned, the Torah declares the sons of Yaakov were 12. And in the posuk that follows, Reuven is listed as the firstborn. Explains Sforno on Bereishis 35, verse 22, though Yaakov was aware of Reuven's deed, he did not remove him from the count of his sons, because he had no doubt that Reuven had repented immediately. And on verse 23, that Reuven is still called the firstborn, because he repented, and repentance reaches the throne of glory. So in spiritual judgment, he did not lose the position of firstborn. Years later, when Yosef's brothers plot to kill him, Reuven speaks up, and he successfully convinces the brothers not to kill Yosef. Suggesting rather to throw him in a pit, Reuven's intention is to return to save Yosef. Events unfold after Yosef is thrown into a pit and the brothers sell Yosef to Ishmaelites. Bereishis 37:29, Vayashav Reuven el Habar, Vehine, Ein Yosef Babar, Vayikra Es Bogodov. Reuven returned to the pit, and behold, Yosef was not in the pit, and he tore his clothing. He tore his clothes. Vayashav Reuven. Reuven returned. Where had he been between his conversation with his brothers about putting him in a pit and the subsequent sale of Yosef that materialized? Says Rashi, Reuven returned. And with the selling of Yosef, Reuven was not there. One answer Rashi gives is that Reuven had been busy with his sackcloth and with his fasting for having rearranged his father's couches. Reuven is absent at the time of the sale of Yosef because he's doing teshuva for having moved his father's couch. Years later, he's still working on himself. In Rabbeinu Bachaye on Shemos 28:15, we see that the stone associated with Shevet Reuven in the high priest's Choshen breastplate is the stone called Oidem. Why? The reason that the stone Oidem is assigned to Shevet Reuven is because the red colouring of this stone symbolises Reuven's face reddening, blushing, about the sin regarding Bilhah, whereby he moved his father's couches. He admitted his sin without embarrassment. The association with this red stone called Reuben is praise of Reuven's willingness to admit his error, not ashamed to claim his responsibility for wrongdoing. Reuven, teshuvah, taking responsibility. How often, when a person does something wrong, does he justify himself in order not to seem imperfect in his own eyes nor in the eyes of others? What strength it takes to cling to the midah, the trait of MS, truth, and to resist making excuses for our stumbling. Reuven shows courage in that he accepts responsibility for his mistake, even though his intention had been to honor his mother. What humility he displays in his admission when he realizes his misjudgment. The first to be apportioned a section of the land. Thank you for studying together. Lilui Nishmas, Frida Bas Moshe Eliyahu.